Hello, Royals fans. Welcome to another edition of the podcast, Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics. I want to welcome you to this week's program. Feels like it's been quite a while since I've recorded one of these, but that's because we've had spring break, and then we also, the week before that, we're down at the ODAC basketball tournament, and we're able to broadcast from there. Hopefully you've been following what's been going on. We have had the spring break, although that doesn't necessarily mean the athletic programs have gone into neutral by any means, and we'll talk about that a little bit this week. Again, we will be focusing today on the baseball program, as I've invited our new head coach, Ben Spotts, to be here with me. And we're going to talk a little bit about the progress there and some of the things in the future. But before we get into that, I just want to make sure you're reminded of that you follow things on the webpage. Hopefully you were able to follow the women's basketball team as they got the at-large bid to go to the NCAA tournament, a great excitement for them. I was able to go along with them down to Christopher Newport. It's one of those things that is the beauty and the curse of sports. All of the excitement comes in of being able to play in the NCAA tournament. And if you talk to Coach Griffin, you talk to the women on the team, they were more than disappointed at their performance. And that's really tough, because when you get to that level, you want to bring your best. And as we all know, we're human beings, and we don't exactly know why, but I'm sure Ben can address that too, that sometimes you just don't play your best. And give some credit to the other team, but it was a great experience for them. I have everybody but Jen Blankenship coming back for next year. Again, everybody says, well, that ought to bode well. Since you got there, you ought to get there again next year. And I think any coach worth their salt is going to tell you that just getting there is pretty tough in and of itself. Making a conference tournament is pretty tough, let alone getting that into the NCAA. But they had a great run. One of the things that we'll be working on over the course of the next time, next couple of weeks, is for them to be able to recognize how great their season was and how many great experiences and successes they had, and to recognize the fact that it's always going to end up on a loss unless you're the national champion, and that's not going to happen too often. But it's probably an extra disappointment, because they just didn't feel like they played the way that they could have, and you go back and you analyze that and you figure out why. But we're certainly going to continue to celebrate all the great things that they did, the number of wins in a row, another 20-win season for them, just numerous things. We'll analyze the whole team, nobody scoring in double figures almost, very evenly spaced. How does that impact? It was a great experience for them to be down there. We certainly want to commend them. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And, of course, as soon as that gets over, then we run right into spring break. And it hasn't exactly gotten to be great Harrisonburg weather here yet, because I don't think we've been out of the 50s very much at all, and we certainly would like to be. But it does signal certainly the start of the spring sports in a major way. Non-conference play is over for most everybody, and we're about ready to roll into that. And as I mentioned, we had the spring break, and the baseball team went south. The softball team stayed here in the area. Track and field was not involved in anything, but will be soon. And the men's volleyball had some of the week off, but then hosted the conference tournament. Make sure that you follow the storyline on that. We were privileged this year to host the Continental Volleyball Conference regular season play. And all five teams were here. Most teams went out with three matches. Stevenson played two. And again, that's the way the men's volleyball is set up, that they all came together here, played each other, and that's their regular season competition. And at the end of March, all the five teams will go to Cairn University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for the same kind of competition against each other. And that becomes, again, the regular season play. We have, just for your clarification purposes, we have played some of the other teams that are in our division at other points along the way at invitational tournaments. They do not count in the standings. The only ones that count in the conference standings are the ones that occur on that weekend or the week in between. Right after we had the weekend of tournament play here, we did travel to Stevenson and played up there. That was a conference match as well, which kept us from playing four matches in one weekend. So make sure you check the webpage. You bring yourself up to date on those storylines and what all happened over the spring break as well. The other thing that we're focusing on right now is, as we come up towards the end of the year, one of our highlights has been the Athletic Honors Banquet, in which we honor all of our seniors, as well as some of the other awards, such as the Newcomer of the Year and the Athlete of the Year. And one of the things it does for all of us as staff is to simply sit back and to recognize what great experiences the kids are having, both athletically, academically, and socially, emotionally with their team as well. So it is a great time to reflect, and we look forward to that, and you'll be hearing more about that. That banquet is on April the 16th. But today we want to focus a little bit on baseball team in particular. I want to update you to let you know that both baseball and softball teams have started off very strong against some serious competition out there. Also, the track and field will get into high gear and get going as well. The men's volleyball has off. So check the webpage for the schedule, for the live stats that are always available for most every event, and then the follow-up articles that James puts up there. Well, as I mentioned, our guest, my guest today is Ben Spotts, coach of the baseball team. We had Ben on here earlier in the year, before he actually even knew his way around the buildings, perhaps, as we tried to sort of figure out what it's going to take to build a new program. And that's been one of the reasons that Ben was excited about joining us was the commitment he sensed from the university to improve the baseball program and our commitment to him to say, here's what it's going to take to get it done. So he knew coming in he was going to have his hands full. And we knew very well that anytime you have a new coach coming in, there's all kinds of changes that can happen. Some people may like the way the coach operates and some may not. So you're going to have some people leave. You're going to have some join. He was stuck with whatever was here, didn't have time to do much of his own recruiting. So it's going to be a good time to give a little report card on the baseball team, I would say. He did work some on the schedule, so some of the schedule can be his call. Ben, let me first of all just simply say, let's start off with just kind of a mid-season report. The students are about to get their midterm reports, I think. And, so I don't know what all the grades are going to be, whether it's failure, satisfactory, or I'm not sure. Green flag, yellow flag, or red flag maybe. But use a little report card maybe and tell us a little bit about what – just give us a couple of overall statements about where you think you're at in terms of the progress of this year, and then we'll talk about the program a little bit later.
Well, thank you for having me, Dave. And I will tell you right now, we're at the midpoint of our season. I mean, we're 11-8 right now. And I can say that if you had told me after 19 games you'd be 11-8, I probably would say I'll take that. So I'm pleased at the progress we've had. You know, and through the mid part of the season here, after we started it in the preseason and so forth, and it was such a quick start for our first game. We only had 19 days before our first game was played. I would say I'm pleased with the work ethic of the guys and how hard they're working and how they're really learning every day. I mean, they've been very coachable. Which when you get a new staff that comes in, sometimes you wonder how they're going to accept that. But I can say no negative things about the guys that I've had, how coachable they've been, how hard they've been willing to work, and how eager they've been willing to learn some of the things about the game that I think make you better and give you a chance to win. So at this stage, halfway through, I'm excited. I think they're excited. And as we get into the meat of our schedule with conference play, I know it'll only pick up in the challenges of the games. But, you know, that's what we're here about, trying to build a program that can compete at the top of the ODAC. So that's where we need to see where we're at.
Good. You didn't have you were able to do some of the non-conference. Is there a particular philosophy you used in terms of the non-conference? And I'm not trying to say you played all easy ones or that. Is there any kind of rhyme or reason that you like to do in terms of the non-conference in preparation for conference?
Well, I think you just try to space your non-conference games out well enough that you can get enough guys work early in the season to prepare you for your conference schedule. But, you know, it's getting harder and harder to schedule teams these days, so you just try to see what teams are available, and sometimes you run across some northern teams that have been inside while you've been out. And at the same sense, we go down to play NC Wesleyan to start the year. We've been inside, you know, some, and they had been out every day. So it's kind of a two-way street on that. But we just try to pick teams early that give us a chance to try to, you know, play guys and see where we're at, so when we get to the conference schedule, we feel like we're prepared to at least know what we have to do.
Sure. You did make a trip to Florida, and that's been an off-and-on experience for our baseball team years ago when I first got here 8 years ago or so. One of the former coaches, Rob Reschle, had a Sarasota baseball classic going on at that time. And so we spent a lot of time in Sarasota as the conference schedule started to creep up onto spring break. It almost became impossible for us to play conference games on either weekend and go down to Florida to play five or six games, which I'm assuming part of the reason you go down there is get a lot of games in. So give us a little bit of background of what your philosophy is as to why, what the value of the trip has been for you and the other places you've coached. But what did it do for your team this year in terms of being able to spend your week? You went to Emory and Henry. Fortunately, we had a bye at the end of the conference, at the end of spring break, so we were able to go to Emory and Henry, play the doubleheader there, and then head for Florida and not be quite as much push. So tell us what you see as the value from a coaching standpoint of a trip like that.
Well, I've been, I guess this is 19 years now, I've been in college baseball, and every year I've done it, I've been on a spring trip. And I know the trend across some schools is to not do as many spring trips or not take one. I know 20 years ago the weather forced you to take one. You had to take it because you couldn't expect to be on the field in early March. You were crazy to think you could get out. The weather patterns have changed over the years, but when I was with Kirk Kendall at Bridgewater, he always believed in the value of it, and it's something that I've continued to believe in. I've always felt like it's a good time to get away on spring break and just play baseball. You know, you can be around each other, have some, you know, companionship, be able to experience each other away from the campus, away from baseball at times when you're staying in condos or on the bus. You know, so I think it's good and guys enjoy it. So I still see value in it. Some programs don't do it, but I've always something I'd always like to try to do when we can and the schedule allows it. We're fortunate next year that we still have an open weekend on the back end, so we can still maximize the trip and get five games in and still have the back end, the weekend open on the back for travel. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it. I think that we went to Winter Haven, Florida this year. You know, the weather was good for compared to Virginia. It's probably a little bit chillier than you expect for Florida, but it was still better than the snowfall we were getting back home here. So, you know, our guys enjoyed it. We had a good trip. You know, we went 3-2 down there and played, you know, a couple good teams, and I thought it was a good experience for our guys to play other people and just kind of see where we're at right now.
Is that about what you like to get four or five games in when you're down there? And do they pick and choose, or can you pick and choose who you play, or they just throw you against other D3s?
Well, right now, you know, I'd like to try to play five games on the spring trips, what I planned on for next year as well. And then we go to this, you know, it's called the Russ Matt Tournament. It's an invitational. It's really not a tournament. It's just a bunch of teams and a lot of northern teams that go down there for a week trying to find good weather. And they try to match you up with teams that are similar to what your records were the year before. It's kind of a, you know, you just kind of throw your name in a hat and they try to match up the best you can. So I know, you know, we played down there. I know two of the teams we played, Thomas More, Wittenberg, are very good programs and have had solid programs over the years. You know, we competed against those teams and beat Wittenberg and competed against Thomas More, you know, for a while there one day. So, you know, guys enjoy it and you just kind of get to go and just play baseball.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about kids being willing to learn, and what are some of the specifics that you could maybe point out that they've sort of been able to soak up, and things that you've been able to that maybe they, as they move from high school to college ball, maybe weren't quite aware of. What are some of those specific things that you think they're sort of soaking in and learning?
Well, I think, you know, obviously you have your skill set and your individual skill set that I've been pleased with as I've tried to make adjustments with hitters or fielders that they've, you know, you can tell when a guy looks at you and listens and is genuine about what you're trying to do to make him better. But, you know, so there's been some skill set things we've tried to adjust and stuff. But I think the biggest thing really that I've noticed is trying to get the guys, and I think that when it comes to being coached, is that some of the strategies of the game, why you do things a certain way, and I try to explain to our guys, you know, why we're going to bunt here, or why we did bunt, or why we're trying to play it this way, just because I think there's things that a lot of times coming through high school, travel ball, they've never been exposed to those, and they just played. Mm-hmm. And no one really took the time to teach them anything. And I've really felt like from day one, I wanted to try to be as fundamental as we can from a program, from a skill set, but also in how we do things. And I've been pleased, you know, they've listened to some of the things I've talked about why we're doing things a certain way and what the reason behind it is. Mm-hmm. So they can buy into that, you know, as we move forward here. And I've been pleased with that, as well as the fact, too, that I just want them to believe that they can do it right if they work hard enough and believe that they can be better than they think they've been in the past. So.
Well, you and I have talked several times, and everybody knows that at least at this level and most every level, you got to have some arms to make sure you do it. And that's always been one of the downfalls of EMU programs, in my opinion. We haven't had that. And, you know, you don't have a lot of depth on the staff now. Is there anything in particular that you have done? I know Coach Bill Buracker has been the pitching coach. Mm-hmm. Is there, I guess the question is really, do you believe that the current pitchers we have, are they improving? Are they getting better? And what specific things is it mechanics that he's helping him with? Is it strategies? Are they picking up velocity? Is it strength and conditioning? What are some of the, because that's going to be key. And so far in most of the games, I think you've been somewhat pleased with where the guys have come at. I'm just trying to sort of – how do you develop a pitching staff if you really don't have that many arms and you're going to have to just figure it out?
Well, right now we have 12 arms, you know, and there's programs that carry 16, 17 arms, and you can do that. So, you know, the 12 arms we have of all guys that I tell if they stay in the right role, give us a chance. Mm-hmm. And I think Coach Berker's done a great job as far as giving them a daily plan. I feel like that was the mm-hmm. biggest thing. They have to have something to buy into every day. So when they come to the field, they know what they're going to do today or how their routine, their weekly routine works, whether it comes to, you know, a bullpen day, a short box, a flat ground, long toss, or what kind of conditioning goes along with that. So I think we've given them a plan that they can buy into, and we've been fortunate to this point. They've seen the results from it. So I think the daily practice part has been something that's given them some guidance and a plan. I think the other piece of the puzzle, too, and Bill does a great job as far as, you know, in-game calling pitches and trying to find holes that we can pitch to, and he's done a good job with that. And I think the guys, instead of just in just after throwing just to throw and not really having a strategy behind it, I think he kind of has enough experience that he's given them a plan as how we're going to try to get these hitters out. Mm-hmm. And it's worked, you know. And you know, we're not deep on the mound, but we're good enough as long as we, you know, like any coach would say, we throw strikes, keep the ball down the zone, and right. and you know, be able to locate our pitches. If we do that, we always give ourselves a chance. And that's probably been the biggest thing is really trying to stress to our players that if we pitch it and play defense, then we'll always be in the game late. And hopefully we get a big hit at the right time. But if we can pitch it and play defense, we'll give ourselves a chance.
Well, and I think if you or anybody that was following on it saw that yesterday you went up against, or the other day this week, you went up against number 13, Shenandoah. And for those of you, in case you were watching on the live stats, I got several calls that night that said, hey, live stats is frozen at 4-4 in the ninth. What's going on up there? Because it was still daylight. That turned out to be a halted game rule, and I think that was because the umpires and the coaches had agreed ahead of time that they did not want to start an inning if they didn't think they could finish it. Now, that's always going to be the judgment call, because I was out there for some of those innings, and there was one, I think, that you got them out in four pitches or something like that, and then the next time it must have taken a half an hour to play half an inning. So I understand where that comes from, but just so people are aware of it, that the halted game rule would now push it to, we're going up there to play Shenandoah since we're only an hour away. That's a midweek contest for us, and they're going up there, and they'll finish that game first as home team and then move on. So I just want to clarify that. But I think that certainly has raised some eyebrows in some people that you were able to stay with a team like that. Again, I don't know whether they were throwing their number one or their ace or number four or five, and I don't think it matters. But I will also say that you mentioned the fact that Bill's doing a good job with training. He's calling the pitches. He's trying to do that. I'd also say the kids have to be able to do what he wants them to do then and throw it where they want to, and that's probably been an improvement as well. Well, one of the other things that I just want to close with is Ben knows this, but I need to say it in a public way. I've just been very, very pleased with the job that Ben has done for us, and I've heard a lot of good reports. I really appreciate the ways in which he has organized things for the guys. I think he's absolutely right. We have not been able, for a variety of reasons in the past, to have someone who can put together the entire program and plan and be here to implement it. That's the biggest thing, is to be on campus all the time and to implement it. And we've got a lot of positive things coming from the academic side, because Ben works very, very carefully at a structure for pregame that allows kids to stay in class as much as possible. Instead of dumping everybody out there at the same time, they hit in shifts and they field in shifts, and people are back in class. I just need to say publicly to make sure that Ben knows, I think he knows, I support him fully and have been very appreciative of what he's done. But we have been very excited. One of the things that attracted Ben to this position and that we got excited about was the commitment on the administration for the support of the baseball program. And they have done that in a variety of ways, which I won't get into, but one of the ones has been the approval of a renovations project. And thanks to a significant contribution that we just received this past week for the baseball program, we've gone ahead and are now getting the drawings done, and we'll have the drawings will be for the new dugouts, new backstop, and it will go on. The drawings will include everything, because lights are being considered. There's some consideration to summer use for the field, et cetera, and some of that. Ben, you've been a part of a little bit of that planning so far. What does something like that do? You've been around baseball a long time. You've been to our field to play a number of times, for sure, when you're Bridgewater. As this thing goes, and let me just make sure that people understand, our goal is to have the plans done in the next 4 weeks, and then we will get pricing, and we're going to be looking for donations of labor, particularly on the labor side of things and some materials as well, in a hope that we can reduce the cost enough to allow us, and then we can start doing the fundraising money. But some of that fundraising is certainly going to be in time and materials and labor. So that's the plan for it. So it hasn't been, it's not in place. We're not ready to dig ground yet, but we do have it. We've designed the dugouts, in-ground dugouts, extended them, of course, storage and all of that. I don't think you ever built new dugouts while you were at Bridgewater, but you've certainly been around enough programs. What would something like this do to the program on a variety of different levels?
Well, I think the first thing is to the public and to recruits, it speaks to a commitment as you move forward. You know, I hate to say it's trickled down to Division III, and I always say it started with Camden Yards back in the early 90s with the Orioles about the new stadiums, and all of a sudden it's kind of trickled down from there to minor league baseball to Division I, and it's reached Division III now at this stage. There's plenty of people in the conference who've made move forward with their facilities. And, you know, one of the things I was excited about when I interviewed for the position here and talked to Dave in the process was the commitment to try to move this forward, because it does need to happen for their facilities. We need to try to address it and show a new era and a new direction. So I've been excited by that. I think it speaks to recruits about a level of commitment as we move forward. And, you know, I'm excited to be part of the process, because I've seen it done in other places, and I'm excited that it's a conversation and that it's something that I think we're moving to the next step, which I think is exciting.
Well, I think it comes in two parts, and we've talked about this quite a bit. I think the university has understood that this particular valley is a baseball valley, from Winchester to Roanoke, up and down the Shenandoah Valley and the Blue Ridge. It is really baseball, and for us to make a connection to the local community, both for players as well as other students, and just public relations to the community, baseball is going to be it, and baseball is one of the pieces. And certainly we saw it in men's basketball when they had the success, and even the women's basketball to some degree. So that's sort of the backdrop behind it. They've talked about lights. I haven't been convinced yet that lights are worth the investment for the few ODAC games that we might be able to play. But certainly that would increase the summer possibilities and looking at some leagues that might play in here. So the current plans are to replace the dugouts and to make the field just a tad smaller by putting a brick wall in between the two dugouts that becomes a backstop for us, and using a screen rather than the wire mesh fence, maybe a batting cage pavilion out in the one side. And there isn't anything major planned for the field itself right now, other than our first goal is just simply to have someone like Ben taking care of it on a regular basis, and we'll see how that does over the years. So we wanted to get that. I want to make sure to get that out to you folks, because you'll be hearing more about it. The university is in the middle of a major campaign for the Science Center, so this is going to have to be off to the side. But we also believe that there's plenty of people out there, alumni, parents, and friends of the university, that would be more interested in helping out with the baseball program than they would with the Science Center, and that's certainly a great possibility. So you'll be hearing more about that. We think it's a twofold piece. One is Ben's improving the program, and the university is going to improve the facilities. And when you get those two together, it certainly does benefit the recruiting prospects, but it also serves the kids. And we're also hopeful that they in turn then gain a little greater respect both for the program that they're a part of and the university as well. Well, Ben, thanks a lot for coming and joining us, and thanks again for all that you've done for the players. We're looking forward to it. Any comments you want to make about now moving into conference play? Because you're basically all done. You've got a couple conference games in, but you can feel good about it now. But you know this conference inside and out. So what do you see coming down the pike in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly looking for some challenges here. I feel confident that I've been around long enough to know what we have to do with the teams we're going to play. But, you know, I do think that we're good enough to compete every time we go out there and give ourselves a chance. So I'm excited about it, and I think the guys are excited for it. And I keep telling them that's what we've worked hard for through the fall and through the preseason here and some of our non-conference games, to get ready for this part of the schedule. So we'll see if it pays off.
Well, I can tell you from having been here over the last 8 years that one of the things that I noticed in the game the other day, and I think this speaks to what Ben has been talking about, is that if I'm not mistaken, you tied it up in the bottom of the ninth. And that speaks volumes to me, because other years, I think the heads would have gone down. There would have been a little bit more controversy with each other, and it's just like, okay, here we go again kind of thing. And when you know that you can come back against the number 13 team in the country on a cold, chilly day, I think it speaks volumes, and it says a lot about it. So I think you're absolutely right. As you've indicated many times, you want to be in the ball game at the end. because you never know what happens. You got a chance to do that. So we're headed in the right direction. I want to thank Ben for coming and making our emphasis of this podcast on the baseball program. As the weather gets warmer, certainly do encourage you to come out. There will be more home games now. I will mention that our game on Saturday, this coming Saturday, has already been postponed until Sunday at 12:30 due to the wet impending weather forecast. 70% chance of rain on Saturday, only 10% on Sunday. So it's an earlier start than we'd like on a Sunday afternoon, but we also know that travel and fitting these games in down the road is going to be particularly difficult. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast, folks. Make sure that you pay close attention to the website, emuroyals.com. James DeBoer will be very busy with all the articles that need to go up there. Stay in touch with it. Our new feature, Athlete of the Week, make sure you check those out as well. And we're starting to get a few ODAC Player of the Week awards as well. So pay attention to all of that and help us to continue to celebrate all that's good about athletics. Thanks for joining us. Until we talk again, I invite you to make it a great week.